This is the Pearson Test of English General Practice Test to prepare for the Pearson English International Certificate Level 5. This test takes 2 hours and 55 minutes. Section 1. You will have 10 seconds to read each question and the corresponding options. Then listen to the recording. After the recording, you will have 10 seconds to choose the correct option. Put a cross in the box next to the correct answer, as in the example. Example. Listen to the woman speaking. What is she describing?
Now, his first photographs were often a little askew, but as time went by, he became more competent with a camera. We have to remember, cameras were a new technology at the time. He became more thoughtful when framing his subjects, and he developed a real photographer's eye.
The correct answer is A. Number 1. Listen to the man speaking. What is he complaining about?
When a big streaming entity like Netflix churns out content that seems indistinguishable from, say, network television, the medium can seem very monotonous and wasteful.
Number 2. Listen to the woman speaking. What is she describing?
The book that inspired me was called Live Daringly, and that's exactly what I did. I'm not just talking about fairly standard stuff like parachute jumping. Compared to high wiring, that's fairly tame, really. High wiring is a rush, but I wouldn't recommend it for anyone who has experienced vertigo or acrophobia.
Number 3. Listen to the conversation. What are they discussing?
Toboggan. What's that?
Toboggan? You must know what a toboggan is. I'm sure you would have used one when you were a kid. They look like, a sleigh. The person at the front puts their feet into the curved bit, and then anyone sitting behind grasps their waist as they slide down the slopes.
Like a sledge.
A sled? Yeah, basically the same.
Number 4. Listen to the news report. What has happened most recently?
Today, court papers were lodged in Chicago by the organizer of an international football competition. Charlie Stampson, who ran the Transnational Champions Tournament, which preceded the start of the current football season, claims to be owed money by participant clubs. Legal action has been anticipated for a number of months, since the tournament failed to attract any marquee sponsors.
Number 5. Listen to the conversation. What should the man's response be?
How's your sister these days?
Oh, there's been a definite spring in her step following on from last week.
Number 6. Listen to the man speaking. What does he expect to happen?
Approximately 100 archaeological sites have been discovered and preserved within the Denali National Park and Preserve in Alaska's interior wilderness. Investigations that have been conducted in the areas immediately adjacent to the park also suggest that sites of historical significance can be found in these surrounding areas. Excavations are planned for next month to put this theory to the test.
Number 7. Listen to the conversation. What do the speakers agree about?
If you ask me, nobody naturally welcomes change. Even unhappy people still feel hesitant to change for fear of things making them unhappier. The benefits of change really have to be clarified before people are willing to accept it.
Yeah, explanations are definitely key for sure. But I'm not sure that everyone instinctively views change in the same way.
Number 8. Listen to the speaker. Where is he?
Ladies and gentlemen, members of the press, thanks for joining us today for the announcement of what I believe will be the biggest fight of the year between two world champion heavyweight boxers. First today, I'll tell you a little bit about the fight, then you will have the chance to interview both fighters and take photographs.
Number 9. Listen to the man talking. What does he say about particles in liquids?
Liquids contain thousands of particles, each with individual properties. This may make liquids seem very difficult to understand, but how numerous these particles are is actually a blessing in disguise. While individual particles act in random, unpredictable ways, the fact they collide and react to each other makes the liquid as a whole more predictable and easier to understand.
Number 10. Listen to the conversation. Why is the woman struggling to communicate with her brother?
How's your brother?
It's hard to speak to him at the moment, actually. He's been down in the dumps. I've called his mobile a few times, but if he answers, he's always pretty distant with me. I can't make out what the problem is.
Section 2. Number 11. you will hear a short recording about land use. Listen to the whole recording once. Then you will hear the recording again, with pauses for you to write down what you hear. Make sure you spell the words correctly.
A land protection plan has been devised in order to prevent commercial activities from unduly damaging and changing the visual character of national parks and other public spaces. It will prevent uses of land that are deemed incompatible with preserving these areas. A land protection plan has been devised in order to prevent commercial activities from unduly damaging and changing the visual character of national parks and other public spaces. It will prevent uses of land that are deemed incompatible with preserving these areas.
Section 3. Questions 12 to 16. You will hear a talk about public spaces. First, read the notes below. Then listen and complete the notes with information from the talk. You will hear the recording twice.
When we think about cities, we picture buildings, streets, skyscrapers, noisy taxis and so on. But cities are fundamentally defined by their inhabitants. And of central importance to inhabitants' well-being are public spaces in which some transformative changes occur. I've been studying public spaces since attending graduate school, and I now understand what makes some work and others not. That is, why city inhabitants love some and not others. I found that the most popular public spaces are the liveliest, but not necessarily the busiest. Spaces crammed with commuters are unpopular, while people love spaces full of people playing music, sports, or just sitting. When it comes to sitting, interestingly, many public spaces get it very wrong. Fixed benches, despite their prevalence, are typically quite unpopular, especially when compared to movable chairs. These, as shown by my first case study, Paley Park in Midtown Manhattan, are very popular indeed. They allow people to come along, find a seat, and move it to wherever in the park they want to be. Next to friends, with family, away from strangers, under shade, next to water, or anywhere else. This gives them a sense of control over the park, which they like a lot. But, you may wonder, don't these movable chairs make parks look messy? In fact, quite the opposite is true. It may seem counterintuitive, but when planners impose more order upon how people use a public space, for example, by nailing benches to the ground, this tends to lead to more littering. Public spaces where people have more control, for example, those with board games that anyone can play, tend to have the least litter. Because with the sense of control over how to use a space comes a feeling of responsibility too.
Now listen again.
When we think about cities, we picture buildings, streets, skyscrapers, noisy taxis and so on. But cities are fundamentally defined by their inhabitants. And of central importance to inhabitants' well-being are public spaces, in which some transformative changes occur. I've been studying public spaces since attending graduate school, and I now understand what makes some work and others not. That is, why city inhabitants love some and not others. I found that the most popular public spaces are the liveliest, but not necessarily the busiest. Spaces crammed with commuters are unpopular, while people love spaces full of people playing music, sports, or just sitting. When it comes to sitting, interestingly, many public spaces get it very wrong. Fixed benches, despite their prevalence, are typically quite unpopular, especially when compared to movable chairs. These, as shown by my first case study, Paley Park in Midtown Manhattan, are very popular indeed. They allow people to come along, find a seat, and move it to wherever in the park they want to be. Next to friends, with family, away from strangers, under shade, next to water, or anywhere else. This gives them a sense of control over the park, which they like a lot. But, you may wonder, don't these movable chairs make parks look messy? In fact, quite the opposite is true. It may seem counterintuitive, but when planners impose more order upon how people use a public space, for example, by nailing benches to the ground, this tends to lead to more littering. Public spaces where people have more control, for example, those with board games that anyone can play, tend to have the least litter. Because with the sense of control over how to use a space comes a feeling of responsibility too.
Section 3. Questions 17 to 21. You will hear an interview. First, read the notes below, then listen and complete the notes with information from the interview. You will hear the recording twice.
So one of the top reason why startups fail is because of lack of product market fit. and that's the most difficult thing to figure out. You think you've identified an unmet need in the marketplace, and it turns out wasn't really a problem in the marketplace, or there was other competitors in the space, or you saw the need differently. So last time I checked, I think you guys raised over $15 million. You're generating revenue, but tell me a little about where this idea came from, and how you took it from this initial seed of an idea and got it to a company that's now generating revenue, and has done really well in raising some capital.
Awesome. Honeycomb started because I was started from myself and my co-founder Charity working together at a company called Parse, which got bought by Facebook. And at Parse, we were dealing with tons of unmitigated chaos. We were a platform that allowed mobile developers to basically include a black box and suddenly get all the benefits of having servers and databases and everything. It meant that it's great for our users. They loved us. We had to deal with their chaos, and we had to deal with, oh gosh, the shared resources being slammed.
Now listen again.
So one of the top reason why startups fail is because of lack of product market fit. And that's the most difficult thing to figure out. You think you've identified an unmet need in the marketplace, and it turns out wasn't really a problem in the marketplace, or there was other competitors in the space, or you saw the need differently. So last time I checked, I think you guys raised over $15 million. You're generating revenue, but tell me a little about where this idea came from, and how you took it from this initial seed of an idea and got it to a company that's now generating revenue, and has done really well in raising some capital.
Awesome. Honeycomb started because I was started from myself and my co-founder Charity working together at a company called Parse, which got bought by Facebook. And at Parse, we were dealing with tons of unmitigated chaos. We were a platform that allowed mobile developers to basically include a black box and suddenly get all the benefits of having servers and databases and everything. It meant that it's great for our users. They loved us. We had to deal with their chaos, and we had to deal with, oh gosh, the shared resources being slammed.
That is the end of the listening section of the test. Now go on to the other sections of the test.